Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. If you are tired of taking medications that cause you to need other medications and so forth and so on and are stuck in this cycle, or if you're tired of Western medicine not being able to address your issues, or even if you just have a holistic point of view and you want to stick with that kind of modality, you're going to love what today's guest has to say. Her name is Jessica Baker. She is the Chief Visionary Officer of Baker Botanica, a licensed acupuncturist and registered herbalist, and she has published her memoir and guidebook, Plant Songs, Reflections on Herbal Medicine. Which we're going to talk about today, and we're going to talk about why she wrote the book and how it can help you. So we're going to get started. I'm going to introduce you. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning, Randy. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Thank you for being on my show today. All right, so Plant Songs. You say it is a memoir and a guidebook. So tell us why you wrote the book and, you know, what your intention is.
Okay, yeah, it's funny to even call it a memoir because it is, although I'm only in my 40s. So, you know, hopefully I have a good, you know, half of my life or more to go. So it is a memoir, but it's really just memories from my childhood and my young adulthood all the way up until today with different plants. And although I didn't grow up as an herbalist or working with plant medicine, I realize now as an adult how often plants played a role in helping me, you know, with loneliness in childhood or with different transitions. And although at the time I didn't realize that they were, you know, basically my medicine, I just used them as, you know, escapes. Like, the oak chapter talks about me going into an oak tree after a friend of mine died when I was in sixth grade. And at the time, I didn't realize the oak was infusing me with all of this courage and strength, but that's exactly what was going on. So the book is really a way to honor all the plants in my life that have helped me work through different issues and traumas and struggles. And also, I just wanted to remind people about how important our relationship with nature is you know, not only for healing, but just for community and companionship and really coming back to, you know, a more natural way of living, which includes having a relationship with our plant medicines.
That's wonderful. We go through life and we really kind of miss what's around us, but are the plants here to help us? They're here to help the planet, I know. Are they here to support us?
I believe they are here to support us. I definitely think there is a very innate connection between us and plants. You know, if we look at evolution and just how, you know, they, without them, humanity never would have evolved because of just how we need oxygen to survive. And so I definitely think they are here to help us. I don't think that's their main purpose for being here. You know, I think they have their own reason for being alive that doesn't include humanity. But I do think that they like to help us. And I know for a fact, you know, at least a fact coming from my esoteric viewpoint, that they definitely like it when we communicate with them and when we honor them and when we utilize them for their resources.
So, okay, so let's talk a little bit about, we're going to talk a lot about the different chapters and the different plants that you have focused on in this book. And the first one is Magnolia, Breathe Life In. What does Magnolia mean to you and what can it do for us?
So for me, Magnolia has a really deep connection with Magnolia. For those who haven't read the book, I grew up in a military family, so I moved around constantly. And really the only constant in my life as a child was my grandparents' house in North Georgia, where we would go, you know, sometimes in the summer or over Christmas. And there was this giant magnolia tree in my grandmother's front yard. So that was almost like a cornerstone of like pulling up into her neighborhood and seeing this magnolia tree. So for me, magnolia has a deep connection with my ancestors and with my roots, especially on the maternal side. And so my experience has just been magnolia. We all know how beautiful and how fragrant and how immense these magnolia trees are. So to me, they're just a reflection of the beauty of all of life and how if we can just slow down and observe the beauty in life, then we will also see that reflected back in us and how it's really just important to be able to discern, you know, the good and the bad. Because, you know, in life we can get a little overwhelmed. And Magnolia really helps us, you know, not only through her fragrance, but also just through how aesthetically pleasing she is, to just remind us that, you know, no matter how hard it is or no matter what is going on, you know, there's beauty in life and we just have to be able to tap back into that.
Does Magnolia have any therapeutic qualities?
Magnolia
other
has
than,
a lot
other
of
than
therapeutic
looking and smelling. Other than vision.
Absolutely. Other than visually appealing. It does. In Chinese medicine, we use magnolia not only for pain. So if there was like a traumatic injury, you know, let's say you got in a car accident or something and you have like swelling and bruising, we can use magnolia for that. But also as a digestive aid, especially if we have like a lot of dampness in our digestion. In Chinese medicine, you know, if there's dampness in the digestion, you're probably not going to be assimilating your nutrients as well as you could be. So maybe you're having gas and bloating or loose stools. But it could also be that you're not able to assimilate emotions. You know, so often we think about digestion and we're like, oh, we're not getting our nutrients. But from a Chinese medicine perspective, our spleen, the energy of our spleen, also has to assimilate our emotions. And I think that piece gets left out when we talk about health, right? It's like, we just want good digestion. It's like, well, how are you assimilating emotions? And how are you, you know, how well can you take in any sort of stress? Not just like you ate gluten and it caused you to have bloating, but, you know, what was your emotional state while you were eating that gluten? Because maybe that also contributed to the fact that you didn't digest it very well.
Interesting. I take, sometimes when I have a sinus headache, I take the plum flower magnolia tea pills.
Yes.
I really like, they really
those
work.
Are the, I love plum flower brand. Oh, I have nothing negative to say about plum flower brand.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I'm going to skip around. There's actually, Jessica talks about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, right? Oh, no. 13,
nope, 16.
16. Yeah, 16 different plants, and we won't have time to go all through all of them today. So I'm going to pick out the ones that that just jump out at me. So the rose, love yourself every day. What does that mean to you, and how can it help us?
So if we think about rose, I think you're going to notice a theme with me about aromatic plants. I really like aromatic plants. And in Chinese medicine, we talk about certain aromatic plants having this ability to open the orifice of the heart and the mind. So basically what this means is if somebody is having some sort of spirit disturbance, right? So anxiety, insomnia, heart palpitations, panic attacks, post-traumatic stress, you know, all of these things can start affecting how clear our the connection between the heart and the mind is. And so for me, rose is one of these herbs. You know, it has this amazing aromatic property that for most of us, you know, when we smell rose, it is immediately calming to our nervous system. But also from a Western herbal perspective, you know, we've always learned that rose is this herb for the heart, and it helps you get over heartache or sadness. In Chinese medicine, they really don't use those terms, but I go back to the Western medicine when I work with rose, just because for me it is a heart-opening herb. So I really like to use it when I or my clients are just, you know, they have this feeling of discontent or just sadness or loneliness or something that they can't really put their finger on. They're just like, I know something's wrong and I can't quite, there's nothing specific. It's just an overall, you know, maybe I don't want to say disillusionment, but you know, just something that doesn't sit right.
Something is off.
Yeah, exactly. Something is off. So I really like to use rose either as a rose tea is one of my favorite ways to use rose. It tastes delicious. It's fragrant. It's not an overwhelming bitter like a lot of our herbs. You know, we ask people to take herbs and they're like, this tastes awful. But with rose,
you just put rose
pretty
leaves.
Much everyone likes rose.
How do you make the tea?
I just put the rose petals.
In water, in boiled water.
Yeah.
Just, amazing.
Yeah,
okay.
Just boil water, turn it off, and then pour the hot water over, you know, a handful of rose petals, and it tastes delicious. You can add honey or not.
Mm.
But I really like to use also like rose essential oil, which is highly expensive. So you could definitely use rose geranium essential oil if you didn't have rose. And just wear it. I like to dilute my essential oils. So I always encourage people to dilute and then wear, you know, over their heart chakra or over their third chakra if they're having issues with, like, you know, maybe somebody, their discontent is because someone is trying to push them into a decision they don't want to make or just something. I like to use rose kind of because it's so thorny too, right? So it's this subtle medicine, but it's strong too because it reminds you, hey, watch out, I've got thorns, and if you do cross me, maybe you'll get the thorn instead of the beauty of the rose, right?
That's right. I love the smell of rose. I'm going to get myself some rose oil. I think that's really nice. Okay, so I skipped over pine and oak. I'm going to skip over honeysuckle and tea to one that I was really surprised to read about, and that was tobacco. So you find tobacco to be a positive thing, and explain why.
So tobacco was positive for, you know, millions of people before it became what we know as tobacco as today. And in the book, I really talk about how the colonies, the American colonies, really benefited from their exportation of tobacco, and that's kind of what helped make America today as we know it, was this money from slavery and tobacco. So those are the negative things about tobacco. And of course, now all of the chemicals that people put in tobacco, there's over 200 chemicals in our cigarettes today, but traditionally it was one of the Native Americans, whether it be South America, North America, or Central America, it was one of their sacred plants. And so if we take it back to how they looked at, you know, the sacred smoke and their connection to the divine by utilizing tobacco, it's a lot different how we use it today. Now we think of tobacco as an addiction, right? And people smoke it and then they eventually get sick from it.
Right.
Potentially, a lot of people do get sick from it. Like in my book, I mentioned most of my relatives ended up dying from some sort of smoking-related disease. but yet I can still see the positive in that. And if we go back, like I mentioned, you know, hundreds of years ago, and it was a sacrament and it was a sacred plant, and then like so many things, it becomes a poison because we lose total respect for the plant itself, and we just see it as a moneymaker or a commodity. And then we've turned it into a poison with all of the chemicals that are in it. And tobacco on its own, yes, you can't eat it. It will definitely kill you if you ate a bunch of tobacco. But on its own, smoking it is not toxic or poison or causing lung cancer. It is all of the chemicals that we've added to tobacco that have made it so dangerous.
Okay. Does the plant itself have nicotine, or is that the additive?
No, the plant itself has nicotine, yes.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. Okay. Let's move forward to cannabis, which is all the rage right now. Amazing. Because
all the rage.
All the rage. I grew up in the 60s, and you couldn't even say the word, you know, or your parents would slap you. So, and now the same parents who were so against it are embracing it. So it's amazing to me how things have changed. But anyway, let's talk about it. Tell me about cannabis.
So, yeah, again, you know, cannabis is one of our herbs that has been used, you know, in Chinese medicine for thousands of years. Our oldest herbal textbook, the Shennan Bensao Jing, lists cannabis as one of our superior herbs, which means, you know, it's in the same category as like ginseng and reishi mushroom and all of these herbs we've always heard about being really good for you. Cannabis is actually in that same category of herbs because they knew the cannabis plant was highly medicinal, and they don't use the words we use today about cannabinoids and, you know, what's going on with inflammation. Of course, they didn't have that terminology, but they knew that using the plant in a conscientious manner would benefit the person's entire health. And that is just the plant. And then they have a whole nother section just for the seed, because as we know, the cannabis seed has been used for nutrients, again, for thousands of years. Chinese medicine really likes the seeds. Again, they don't use essential fatty acids in their verbiage, but they knew that the high oil content in the cannabis seed was keeping people healthy and robust, especially in times of famine. Hemp seed was very important as a food source. And also for people who have constipation due to dry intestines, we use seeds. And hemp seeds is one of our most important herbs for loosening the bowels, basically, for dry type constipation. And then, you know, in modern research, now we know how important it is to upregulate our endocannabinoid system. So now they're like, oh, this plant has been, you know, evil forever, or we wanted to act like it was evil, but now we're actually realizing that all of these people may have an endocannabinoid deficiency because they haven't been eating hemp seeds. They haven't been utilizing the plant medicine the way it's been used for since antiquity in China. And it is slightly, you know, it is a different plant. You know, hemp and cannabis, we say, are the same plant, but there are a lot of, there's been a lot of discord lately with cannabis sativa and cannabis indica. And I actually did another podcast about that, where the ethnobotanists are now believing that hemp, which means less than 0.3% THC, might truly just be cannabis sativa, and our quote unquote drug varieties of cannabis, the ones that we're smoking and getting high off of, are actually all cannabis indica. And so that's a hard place for people right now, because we're creatures of habit. And we want to just say, we like to have our own ideas of what cannabis sativa and what cannabis indica are, but those are vastly changing as there is more research and more open conversation about cannabis. And for an herbalist like me, I think it's really important that we don't demonize any plant, because that's, one, ridiculous that we could demonize a plant, because it's only what people make it into or do with it that makes it harmful. The plant itself is never at fault, as we know. And it's pretty amazing now, especially with CBD. Everyone is so hyped on CBD, and I just, again, think it's funny. We've never, unless you're an herbalist, no one has ever cared about a plant constituent until CBD came around, and now everybody loves plant constituents, which is awesome. And also misleading, because, you know, we need the whole plant medicine. Just taking one constituent out is going to be limited into the medicinal effect.
Okay, wow. That's
sorry, now I could talk all day on that subject alone.
I'll bet. Yeah, now they have these dispensaries in California and Colorado, where you can go in and shop, and they tell you all about the different ones, and they have these hybrids and all different kinds. You get to select it like you would pick out a piece of fruit in a fruit market or something.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
It's pretty. It's great. It's a great time to be alive to see this, I think, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's
amazing.
A good awakening for people.
it's absolutely, it amazes me. It's so funny. Okay, so the next one I wanted to talk about is actually the one that we discussed a little bit off air, and that's psilocybin, which is, these are mushrooms. So you call the chapter psilocybin, see for yourself. So let's talk about that. Now, I know, I remember back in high school people tripping on psilocybin. And I didn't know what it was, and I've never tripped in my entire life, so I wouldn't have any experience with that. But explain it to us.
So psilocybin is one of those miracle herbs, and I don't really use the word miracle very often, but in this respect, I feel like, you know, if we go back to Terrence McKenna and other ethnobotanists, I'm spacing people's names, so I won't even act like I remember, but we'll just use Terrence McKenna as our example. And he talks about how psilocybin is potentially one of those herbs that has changed human civilization. And this, the same thing could be said with cannabis, which I didn't even talk about, so I'll just say briefly, is that cannabis was one of the very first cultivated crops by humankind. And this has been, you know, proven as much as ethnobotanists prove things, you know, because science is always changing as new hypotheses come about. But with psilocybin, they talk about when people, before we had agriculture and before we started, you know, growing our own crops, we were migratory people, and a lot of the research talks about how we would, in certain places in Africa, humans would follow large herds of wild animals. And in the process, they would eat these mushrooms that were psilocybin mushrooms that came out of the dung or the poo piles of the animals, and how eating small amounts of these psilocybin mushrooms actually changed our visual acuity. And you've never tripped, so you don't, you know, you may not understand this as much as what a listener who has been on psilocybin or LSD or something else, how there's this visual, you almost get this like clearer vision. Like literally you start seeing better. You have better visual acuity. And so that is one of the hypotheses of these ethnobotanists, that we actually changed our visual acuity and our ability to have close-up and long-distance vision based on our eating of these mushrooms. And then also, there's a lot of historical data and archaeological artifacts from, like, mushroom cults where literally, you know, they would have statues with, like, a mushroom on the top of the person's head, or all of these mushroom imagery. And so also they postulate that the ingestion of these mushrooms and other entheogens or, like, psychedelic substances actually helped create our spirituality. And that idea of man, not man versus God, but how there's this separation of, like, godlike deities and ourselves and our relationship with the greater cosmos and man's place in divinity, but also in how we then started to construct societies based on spirituality and culture that could have come from us eating these mushrooms. And so that was kind of the long-winded version of how of how ingrained mushrooms are in our humanity, but also in our culture and our spirituality.
Yeah, no, it was a great explanation. So I understand, I hear from people that it expands their mind, so they're able to think more broadly, they're able to come up with more, write better or better inventions or, you know, whatever it is. They just kind of see things clear. It opens up their mind. But what I wanted to ask you is, in case anybody's listening and getting really into this, psilocybin should be used in a controlled environment, at least with somebody else around. Do you agree, or can you advise us on that?
You know, I think it's a personal thing. I always, you know, encourage people to do it in a communal setting if that's what they're comfortable with. You know, definitely if they've never done it before, you know, doing it with somebody who has would probably be beneficial, just so you can talk ideas out as they go through. You know, there's a lot like MAPS, the Multidisciplinary Association of Psychedelic Studies. They are doing therapy-assisted research with psilocybin and MDMA and LSD and other things. And so there are some opportunities if you have something like severe depression or post-traumatic stress disorder or a terminal illness where you could get into one of these research studies. Or you could just, you know, I mean, psilocybin is still illegal in most states, if not all. I know here in Denver, they are trying to decriminalize psilocybin, and I don't know if that's going to happen, but it is going to be on our ballot soon. And I know the state of Oregon is trying to do it too. So I think it's shifting. I think, again, just like cannabis, right, was demonized, and now we start realizing, oh, well, maybe there's therapeutic properties of these other plants. We also, you know, made illegal, you know, not only on, you know, for cannabis, there was a lot of like racism that went along with making it illegal, but it's also like, I don't think the powers that be want us thinking critically or expanding our mind in a way that maybe is going to be different from the way that they want our minds expanded. Not to be conspiratorial, but, you know, just saying that, like, I think there's selfish reasons why they keep things like psilocybin and cannabis away from people for as long as they can, because it can be a good awakener, and sometimes populations awaken before politicians do. You know, we see that over and over, right? We are the ones who create the change.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Let's talk about Angelica. Hear your divinity. That's really interesting. What I don't know that I'm familiar with Angelica, so tell us where it is, where we can find it, and everything else.
Okay, there are so many different kinds of Angelica, and so I won't try to confuse the listeners with all the different kinds we use in Chinese medicine, but we do use several different Angelicas, and for various different reasons. So unlike some plants where you can be like, oh, you know, I could probably use this Angelica for the same thing I use that Angelica for. And in this instance, it's not the case. But in terms of the Hear Your Divinity herb, that is Angelica Archangelica, and it grows, I think it grows on both the East and the West Coast of the United States. I believe it grows in other places too, but I am most familiar with it growing in the Pacific Northwest. And you know, it's in the name, Angelica Archangelica. So there's this connection to the divine and to the divine within us, but also like our divine helpers, right? If that's something that people believe in. And so I like to use Angelica Archangelica. You know, a lot of times people will use it for like menstrual issues, or if they have like menstrual pain, or if they don't have enough menstrual bleeding, we will give them Angelica Archangelica. But I like to use it more on like a spiritual aspect of working with it for, I'll just burn a little bit of the dried root and, you know, put it like in an incense burner. I'll grind it up and dry it. And it really puts me in this like meditative state, similar to like if I were to burn frankincense. So I find it to be really grounding, but also kind of opens up that third eye or first eye or whatever people like to call that area of the pineal gland, where we can have more clarity of thought and also connect to all of the energies that are around us, you know, whether that's you're trying to connect with the other plants or, like I said, your divine helpers or your teachers, whatever energy you want to bring in. I find that burning that root of Archangelica is really helpful. And also working with it when people need to see their angels. So I've, you know, maybe working with it as someone, like as an end-of-life herb. So either drinking the tea or putting a little of the essential oil on their crown chakra, or, you know, just even like hold, even they is having them hold a piece of the root. I'm big on amulets. So it's like, well, if you don't want to take it or burn it, then just wear it. Put a little piece in your pocket, you know, whatever you may need to help, you know, deepen that connection to the energies around you.
Very interesting. I'm going to look that up. I want to see what they look like and if we have them. I live in South
they
Florida. I don't know if we have Angelica in South Florida, but, you know, California.
I don't
grows.
Know if I've ever seen it down there.
No.
But you can
I know
grow it
California
if you have
is very fertile. California is very fertile, so. Okay, Rosemary, remember who you are.
Yes, so Rosemary is one of...
Yeah, we know what it is.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I mean, everybody knows what rosemary is. We use it when we cook. But you're saying there's so much more to it, right?
There is so much more to rosemary, absolutely. And that's the amazing things about our culinary herbs is that we all know our culinary herbs, but we don't think about them as herbs, right? We're like, no, they're spices. And it's like, no, but herbs and spices, like they're all medicinal. Like every single herb and spice you can think of that's in your kitchen pantry is probably a medicinal herb, which is amazing that we're taking herbs all the time as food and we don't even realize it. You know, and in terms of rosemary, it's really used and has been used, you know, throughout history of European medicine as an herb of remembrance. So they will use it at weddings and funerals and other things just as like, remember this, remember how important this ceremony and this occasion is. And then if we think just like physiologically, that rosemary is promoting circulation of blood. And so we call it like one of our wisdom herbs, right? So it's literally going to help blood circulate to the head so we can improve our memory, improve our memory recall, and also be able to, just as an aside, you know, help with varicose veins because we're moving the blood. So if people have like blood stagnation that's causing headaches or knee pain or just the fact that that pain is getting in the way of them having, you know, because you know, I'm sure you've been in pain before, it's really hard to concentrate. And it's really hard to like function just being like, okay, what was on that list I have to do? I can't even focus on anything but the pain. So the rosemary can help reduce the pain, move the blood, and then also brings energy to the brain. So it can help improve memory.
So interesting. I find this stuff fascinating. So tell us about your company, Baker Botanica. Well, you're the chief visionary officer of Baker Botanica. So what does Baker Botanica do?
Baker Botanica is kind of an overarching DBA for my corporation. That it's funny because people ask me that, and I'm like, you know, as of right now, Baker Botanica does a few things. One is that's my website name, so I've just kind of taken that as my overarching name. I was Jade Dragon Acupuncture Corporation, which I still have, but I think Baker Botanica feels more personal to me, as in they're like all of the things that I've created that aren't just seeing clients are under Baker Botanica. So I have a 5-element essential oil line that's available on my website and on Amazon. So it's based on the 5 elements of Chinese medicine. So we have the wood element, the earth element, the metal element, the water element, and the fire element, not necessarily in that order. But so really trying to help people come back into balance, not only with themselves, but with the entire natural environment around us by working with these aromatic plants. And I also have my song, my book, Plant Songs, Reflections on Herbal Medicine. That is under Baker Botanica. And I also formulate for different companies. So I've been formulating for helping either coming up with the formula or researching people's formulas to make sure they are effective and balanced, especially if it's an internal formula for someone, so like a tea or a tincture. If it's a topical, that balance of energy is not quite as important to me, but it can still be valid. So I formulate for different herbal companies. I've been formulating for a lot of the new cannabis and CBD companies that are coming out. So it's fun. Yeah, Baker Botanica is kind of like my creations, my formulations, my writing, and helping other businesses formulate really great products. There's a lot of not great CBD products on the market, so I really want to help change that a little bit.
That's wonderful. It does sound like a lot of fun. It's so varied. You know, you never get bored doing that, which is great.
Yes, never get bored. It's true.
Never get bored, no. So when we use essential oils, plant essential oils, a lot of people now are using them through diffusers. Is there a difference between putting it on our skin or using it through a diffuser? You know, or just holding the plant, or, you know, what is the difference between all of that?
I'm a proponent of all of those, just so you know. And I think the difference is one of preference and convenience. So if you, like, I love to diffuse essential oils in my home and in my office, and sometimes I even have it in my car where I can diffuse in my car. So I love the diffuser because I just think it's so convenient. And I think that we underestimate the power of aroma in not only like physical health, but also in that like spiritual and mental health. And so I love the diffuser as a way, as just like a passive way to work with the herbal medicine. And it's so subtle, you may or may not even notice it's working. And that's what I love about the diffuser, is that it's subtle. And it's like that daily action without, you know, because so many people, it's hard for us to be consistent, right? So I love the diffuser because we get our herbal medicine in even if we don't even realize it, and you don't even have to, like, work at it. And I think so many of us have to work so hard all the time that, like, we want something that we don't have to work at to get results. And to me, that's the diffuser. Stick a few drops in water, walk away, and you're getting this, like, subtle medicine all day long.
Nice.
In terms of wearing essential oils, I don't like, how do I say this? I prefer diluting essential oils because so many of our essential oils, one, we're getting oversensitized, so they're going to stop working. And then two, so many of us have sensitive skin. A lot of these oils are causing redness, irritation, flaking of the skin. I have so many massage therapists that were taught to put undiluted essential oils in the palms of their hands. Now they can't even work with essential oils because their palms are raw and have not come back from it years later. So I really encourage diluting essential oils if you're going to wear them. And that's why I have my blends and roll-ons. You roll on the blend, and you can put it in your purse. It's also a super convenient way to work with essential oils. But it can be expensive, right? You know, so if that's the case, it's like, okay, well, instead, you know, rose essential oil being our extreme example, well, then why not carry around some dried rose petals? And you can put, like, one drop of rose essential oil or rose geranium essential oil to keep that aroma going. Same with lavender. You know, instead of dropping lavender essential oil everywhere, just have like two sprigs of lavender in your car, in your house, and like press on them every couple hours, and you're definitely going to get that aromatic property strongly from the lavender. So as much as I love essential oils and I sell essential oil blends, I really like it when people use the actual plant as their medicine. Mm-hmm. And you could just grow the plant, and that's your relationship with it. Maybe you never even harvest it, but just once a week you go and sit by it in a meditative state for 5 minutes even. I mean, that's herbal medicine, and that's creating this deeper connection between you and another life form that you may not, you know, be having a, they may not be verbally speaking back to you, but you're definitely having this resonance between the two of you that I think is even more powerful than taking a bunch of herbal capsules that you have no connection to, you know?
Yes, and actually that's a great way to end the show because we are out of time, but I like that. So your website is bakerbotanica.com, is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay, great. And your book can, besides your website, this could be purchased on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and through all the traditional ways?
Yes, it can.
Okay, that's awesome. Well, Jessica, thank you so much for just sharing this knowledge. It's so interesting to me, I'm sure to my listeners. And, you know, I wish you great success with this book. I hope that people purchase it because it's interesting, you know, it's something that can help them. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate you having me on the show and for all your support. And thanks for offering such a great podcast to the community because, you know, people need conversations like this.
Oh, you are so welcome. I love doing it. I've been doing it for 8 years. I love doing it. All right. Well, anyway, and like you, it's very, there's such a variety, I never get bored. So I have to say goodbye, but have a great day.
You too, Randy. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. So we are out of time, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.